It is great to see you here just prior to our brand new year. And I pray that 2019 will be a roaring success for all of us, that the Lord Jesus would do in us something that he may not have done before. I'm going to ask my brother to come, if he would, and read a passage of Scripture, Joshua chapter 1. If you have your Bible with you, Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 5 and reading through verse 7.
There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest.
Thank you, brother. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I'm going to ask you, if you would also, to turn back to your left just a couple of pages, to the final chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, should be one page or two pages back to the left. Now I want to communicate with you here the farewell message of Moses, because I believe it's important toward where we're going to go today. 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse 1. It said, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palms unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel." What a great man was Moses. The testimony of the Word of God is clear. It's hard to measure the value of that particular man in the history of Israel and the things that had gone on there. But his time came, and the Lord called him home at the age of 120 years old. He died. What I want you to see and want you to understand is here that at the end of his life, the promise that God had made way back to Abraham was still alive and well. Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, I'll give it to thy seed." Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 is where that promise begins. When God called Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your children as the sand of the sea. You're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed at what I'm going to do for you. And years and years and years and years went by. Maybe 600 to 700 years had gone by And that promise had not been completely fulfilled. When the book of Joshua opens, you can turn back there to the book of Joshua. When the book of Joshua opens, the leadership has changed. It used to be Moses. Now he's gone, and God and his grace and his mercy and his foresight and in his wisdom, he'd had Joshua in place all the time. Joshua had served as Moses' right-hand man. What is interesting here, Moses spoke these words earlier to the tribes of Israel. He talked about just before in Deuteronomy in chapter 32 and following. He talked about good and evil. He talked about success and failure. And he talked clearly about obedience and disobedience. And there was a purpose in Moses' message. He wanted the people to understand and to realize just how much God had done for them. And when you trace this history back a little bit, you begin to realize that 40 years prior, they began a journey in the wilderness. They were rescued from slavery in Egypt. They had a chance to turn things around. They had a chance to renew an opportunity to worship. They had the opportunity and the privilege to be the generation that was going to go, and finally they were going to enter into the promised land that God had given them. Moses helped them to understand before he spoke his last words. He said, you need to realize without a shadow of a doubt how awesome God has been to you, how good God has been to you, how he's taken care of you. And here's the things that you need to be aware of. There's good and there's evil, and you need to seek good and you need to shun evil. There's success and there's failure. You need to be humble in your success. You need to learn in your failure. And he talked to them about obedience and disobedience. And so much of the book of Joshua, and I'm going to spend some time here over the next several weeks, so much in this book talks about understanding this particular recipe. Obedience equals success, and disobedience equals failure. It's uncomplicated in the Word of God. It is so clear, not only here, but in a lot of other places, it's very clear here. But Moses had on his mind the children of Israel, not his situation, not his condition, not the fact that he was going to be very short for this world. What he had in his heart and in his mind was the well-being of God's people. He talked to them about the penalties of disobedience and the rewards of obedience to God. And following God was the way of reason. It was the way of security. It was the way of wisdom. And it was going to be necessary for them to be prosperous, for them to have any kind of peace whatsoever, not only for their present time, but for their eternity as well. And I'd like to say, and so gladly say this morning, that's true for you and I as well. God is still for us. He has always been for us. God has always told us in his word and reminded us in the great music, the hymns of the faith, and so many other wonderful songs that we're never by ourselves, that he never leaves us alone, that he's with us, that he hears our prayers. And we have the testimony of the word of God to know that even now he sits at the right hand of God and he ever intercedes for you and I. God is for us. The world would not have you to believe that. The culture that we live in would not have you to believe that. But we know that it's absolutely true. In so many words, what Moses was saying to the people was, I need for you to declare a declaration of dependence. Not independence. Not a license to go do as you please. Not a freedom that has no boundaries or no goals or no filter, so to speak. God would be their refuge. He would be their shield. He would be their savior. That's what chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy says in verses 27 and 29. And we love our independence, but what Moses was saying here to these people was, you need to pay close attention and continue to depend upon God to do for you what you could never do for yourself. And that's as true today as it has ever been. You and I live within and under the grace and the mercy and the loving kindness and the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. We live within those those things that are promised to those of us who know him. And when Moses died, Joshua stepped up. He had been in training, so to speak. He was appointed as Moses' successor. It would be his job and his privilege and his responsibility to lead the Israelites into the promised land. It would be their job to follow God's leadership and to follow his leadership as well. And see, that's the formula for success. That's the formula for success in a church, is that we follow God's leadership and that we follow the leadership that God has put in place. You know, so how do you follow a guy like Moses? Wouldn't you love to be Joshua? Can you imagine what that would have been like to step up and try to take the fill of shoes of a guy like Moses? Really? Yeah, think about that for just a second. How would you like that challenge? But God knows best. And I think this is how you follow Moses or any great person. You imitate them. They've often said that imitation is the finest form of flattery. And I'm reminded of little boys who want to be like their daddy and they put their shoes on and walk around the house, or little girls who want to be like their mamas. And they get into the makeup and they get into all the things related to that imitation. So what would Joshua do, having been chosen to success, to succeed Moses? He would lead the Israelites into the promised land, something that hadn't happened for such a long, long period of time. Never happened before. But it was one of those promises that God made. He would be the guy who would get to see and help them to go places that they had never been. And he'd served beside Moses. He knew what it was all about. He knew what to do. He was appointed by God. He was charged by Moses. He was by the laying on of hands. And he was full of the spirit of wisdom, which is what Deuteronomy just said. So when you look at it, bottom line is this. He was the right guy for the job. And it was the right time for that to happen. In other words, Joshua had been before the Lord, and he was prepared, and he was ready to lead the people. Now I want to read some more chapter and verse to you, because I love the way this starts out. The book of Joshua is a tremendous book, and we are going to spend some time there. So flip back to Joshua if you're not there already. Chapter 1, I want to read down to those things that Nicholas just read. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Listen to this. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And this is what Nicholas read for us. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And catch this phrase, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Woo, that's some good stuff right there, folks. If you were Joshua, wouldn't you love to hear something like that? God is saying, listen, every single place you put your foot down is yours. I promised it to you. It's going to be yours. But here's the deal. Don't you turn to the right. Don't you turn to the left. You pay close attention and keep your eyes focused on what you know is the right thing to do for the right reason. Stay close. Understand and hear the word of God. I was with Moses. I'm going to be with you. Okay? I will be with you, and here's your deal. You know, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to fail you in any way. You just need to be strong in the middle of this process. You need to be of good courage. You need to have some courage. You need to hang in there when the going gets tough. I'm going to divide this just like I promised your fathers I'm going to do that. But here's your part. You just need to pay close attention to what I've commanded you. Pay close attention to what you know is absolutely true. Be very clear about your choices. Don't wander off to the right. Don't wander off to the left. Stay straight down the path. And I promise you, that will be the way of success. That will be the way of prosperity. That will be the way of safety. That will be the way of blessing. And I want you to do those kinds of things. And you're going to have good success if you do that. Now, I have to understand this. The promised land was promised, but they would have to go in and defeat the people who lived in the land. And the history of the book of Joshua says that sometimes they did it the right way and they did what God commanded them to do through the leadership of Joshua, and they were successful. In other times, they didn't listen, and they got their own stuff out in front instead of listening to God, and it became a very real failure. They went through successes and failures. They understood what it was like to be prosperous. They understood what it was like to be in need. They understood those things because they lived it. Now, I want to bring this full circle here. In some ways, I believe that every church has their Joshuas. Bear with me. Leaders who lead with passion, who lead with truth, who lead with dedication, those who preach the word, those who teach the word, those who sing the word, those who pray the word, those who minister the word. See, the way I see it, I'm looking at a whole church full of Joshuas. You didn't know that your middle name was now Joshua, did you? So if I call you Joshua on the way out the door, don't hit me with your purse. All right? But the parallel is very real. You and I have the privilege and the opportunity to serve as Joshuas. Okay? God has positioned you in this church to help lead men and women to what we might consider our own promised land. For those of us, immediately that promised land might be salvation. Your ministry, your witness, your presence, your passion, your desire, your investment, those kinds of things will benefit others, and we will see people saved because you've been Joshua in the house of God. Ultimately, our promised land will be in eternity in heaven with Jesus and our Heavenly Father. What a great promise that we have. We receive instruction while we're here. We receive encouragement. We receive direction. We receive counsel. And yes, every now and then it's needed, we receive correction. And that's necessary. And that's needed. And when it's done in love and kindness and purpose, most people will receive that with an open heart. My two accountability partners, and I refer to them on a regular basis because it's just so real to me, I can say anything I need to say to either one of those guys, and they will hear my heart, not my voice. And it happened last Wednesday night, a week ago Wednesday night. We had things to say to one of my brothers, me and one of my other accountability guys, and it was pointed. And I saw him this past Wednesday night, and he's still speaking to me. What are you talking about, man? Of course I'm speaking to you. So I heard exactly what you had to say. And I've given you permission to say what you need to say. And that's special. And I hope and pray in your life that you have somebody like that. It takes all of us, church, to make this happen. It takes us all. When you're here, you can become a great influence and a great force in the lives of other people. It's so important. It takes us all to move forward. It takes us all to do like God expected us to do. And when Joshua took over from Moses, what he had learned from Moses was so powerful and so important. And he would go on, and we'll get into this later weeks. He called the people together and he explained to them exactly which way to go, how to go about doing it, how to accomplish what was set before them to accomplish. And it was more than just a responsibility. If there's anything that I want to share with you throughout this entire year and in the years to come, and I want you to hear me closely, if this is the only thing that you go out of here with today, this will be the most important thing that I probably have to say all morning. Moses rehearsed the word of God and the will of God in the ears of the Israelites the entire time that he led them. And some of it was repetition, and it was over and over again, reminding them of the good hand of God upon their lives. In church, we don't have to go very far, do we, to realize how good God's been to us? You don't have to look very far to recognize what a privilege it is to meet in a building like this, to have heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer, to have lights, and to be able to come in here and share. What I want you to hear more than anything is I want us as a church, and I'll do my very, very best to lead the way. I want us to understand that we have more than just a responsibility. We have a privilege. We have more. It's more than just having to do the work that's set before us. It's getting to do the work that's set before us. And far as I'm concerned, I'd like to take my ink pen and rub the word problem completely out of my dictionary so that it no longer exists. Because you see, what we really have is opportunity. And I'm absolutely satisfied that that's one of the things that Moses taught Joshua. And it will be one of the things that you realize right away when you read this book. That that's what Joshua was trying to teach the children of Israel. It was like he said to them, don't you guys get it? Everywhere we put our foot down belongs to us. And all we got to do is live in obedience. Stay on the path. Yes, it's straight and it's narrow, but it's the path of success. It's the path of prosperity. It's the path of safety. So the mentality, it's like Paul said in Romans chapter 12. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And how? By the renewing of the mind. In other words, what Paul was saying to the church at Rome is, the way you don't get conformed to the world and the way you be transformed is to change the way you think. Now, I'm not pointing the finger this morning and saying to you that there's a bunch of negative people sitting out here. That I'm not doing. You didn't hear me say that. What I'm saying to you is that as positive as we already are, can you imagine what God could do if we didn't have just responsibilities? We called it a privilege. If we didn't just have to do the work that we do, that we get to do the work that we do, if we just decided that we're not going to talk about it being a problem any longer, we're going to talk about it being an opportunity. Look what we get to do. Look what's set before. Look at the privilege that we have, and look at the opportunity that God's laid before us as a church. We're so incredibly blessed, and God has said, you'll be successful if you stay on the path. You'll be successful if you don't wander right or left. I will make sure that you're successful. So Joshua accepted the counsel of Moses, and he began his leadership with great passion, and he spoke the truth and with great clarity. And you know what he did? He kept the word of God in front of them all the time, just like Moses did. So why do we want you in church? So you can hear the preaching and the singing and the teaching and the praying of the word of God. Why do we want you in Sunday school? Same reason. You get the word of God out in front of you, whether it's preached or sung or prayed or talked about or taught. We get the word of God out in front of us. It's the goal. It's what we get to do that helps us stay on the narrow path of success so that we open the door and position ourselves for God to bless us. You see, God is for us, church. He wants to bless us far more than we want to put ourselves in a position to be blessed. I'm satisfied of that. Why is that? Because it's work. And sometimes we just got this negative attitude toward what work looks like. God help us. It's my privilege to serve you as your pastor. It's a great opportunity. It's not a problem. And you're not a problem. And if you think you want to be, not going to let you. And see, that's my opportunity. Joshua will be a great leader. Why? Because he watched Moses. And Moses was a great leader. And he kept them before the Word of God. And why is that so important that you keep somebody before the Word of God? You know, he kept reciting that in their ears because they needed to hear it, for one thing. The Israelites had a long history of getting it wrong, being stubborn, being pig-headed, being selfish. Now, let me use a biblical word. I'm wore out all the English words now. The biblical word is stiff-necked. Ugh. Sound like a bunch of Baptists to me, don't it? No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, we have that capacity, don't we? If we really want to be difficult, I'm pretty sure that everybody in the building may be overqualified. We can be that way, can't we? So the Israelites have been that way. For generations, they had ignored God's word. They had killed the prophets. They were blind to the good hand that God had upon them, and they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness. Do you realize that what they took 40 years to get to this place? If they had listened whenever they sent the spies out, if they had listened, it would have taken 18 months to go from Egypt to the promised land. And because they were stiff-necked and pig-headed and selfish and narrow, it took them 40 years. You see, one of the fears that we have is that we don't want our churches following that same path. God has a plan. I think he's got great things planned for Lena Vista Baptist Church. Will we line up and see that happen? That's yet to be seen. Why rehearse God's law? Because repetition is the mother of all learning. I had teachers in school over and over and over and over and over again. You got the same message in your ears. And by the time the semester was over with, you would think maybe you learned it. You hope you had learned it. They expected you to learn it. But it was said over and over. Why do we do what we do? So it can be a constant reminder that we belong to him and he's for us. And if I was telling Sunday school class this morning, I saw a sign in front of a church. It's been many years ago, and I absolutely loved it, and it spoke volumes to me. It said, if the truth hurts, it's working. Sometimes when we come here on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, when the truth is spoken, folks, sometimes it's painful. I get that. That's part of the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And there are other times when the Word of God is very real and it's very confirming or affirming, so to speak. That's also a work of the Spirit of God, making his word real in your life and helping you to have confidence that you're making good choices and you're headed in the right direction. You see, it's important. How are we like Israel? Yeah. Well, some folks have been wandering around in the wilderness of the world for a long, long time, and they're blinded by Satan, and they're influenced by society and culture, and they're really confused about what's really true. And maybe you're here today and you can relate to that. Some have looked across the Jordan River at the promised land, and they've chosen to remain camped just outside. Being around Jesus is not the same thing as being related to Jesus Christ through salvation. Being in church with other worshipers does not mean that you belong to Christ as a child of his. It's like one of my old professors used to say, going to church don't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. That's pretty pointed, isn't it? I mean, it's about as honest as it gets. And we don't want to be confused about this. There's a lot of people following Joshua, but they weren't all on board, and you'll see that as we go down through the Word. So we can be close to it, we can still be far enough away. What was going to happen is these people, they were ready for a change. 400 years in slavery and 40 years of misery wandering around in the desert going in circles and living in disobedience. When they got to be able to look across the river, and right out there is the land that God promised Abraham 600 or 700 years prior to that. And we're going to be the generation that gets to look across there and say, wow, we get to be the people that cross that river and move into the land that God promised us. How special is that? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that group? You see, they were ready to make some changes. Some people, praise God, have trusted Him completely. They've crossed over their Jordan River to a life of meaning, of purpose and promise, with heaven to look forward to. And that's certainly what we hope for. Sometimes the promised land for some people might mean salvation. Maybe you're lost as yesterday and you know it. Today would be a great day to change that, to nail that down. For some, they've been saved but not been baptized. For some, they've been saved and baptized but they don't have a membership anywhere. For some, they're saved and baptized and their membership is at a local church, but for some reason they're not invested. And by that I mean not connected to a ministry somewhere, serving the Lord with the talents and gifts that they've been given. So as lovingly as I know how, I just simply say to you, what about you? Do you anticipate a really good 2019 at Lena Vista Baptist Church? Do you look forward to what God's going to do in your life? Are the challenges that are facing you, are they problems or are they opportunities? Is it all responsibility or is it privilege mixed in with it? And are the things that you're doing stuff that you feel like you have to do rather than stuff that you feel like you get to do? Have you positioned yourself for spiritual growth? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, folks, is really pointed. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, because you're there to provoke each other, and provoke is a positive word in that passage of Scripture. We're here to provoke one another to greater service, to greater love. I can't provoke you if I'm not here, and you can't provoke me if you're not here. I prefer the word to encourage. I have a hard time encouraging you if you're not present where I can look you in the eyes and do that. I love to see all the handshakes and all the hugs that go on here, and that makes me feel really good. I love the love that we share, not only for the Lord Jesus, but for one another. And I believe if you and I, as the Lena Vista Baptist Church, are going to be a force in this world for 2019, if we're going to see more and more pews being filled with people, not just space, we'll need to do like Joshua taught those folks through Moses. Don't wander off to the right or wander off to the left. Stay on the path. Live in obedience, not disobedience. Expecting God to do something in your midst that He's promised He would do. And the testimony of the Word of God is incredible. I could read verse after verse after verse after verse that says He is for us. He provides the power. It's a supernatural thing, by the way. He provides the power for that to happen in my life and yours through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Kenny's not bringing enough to the table on his own. And chances are you might not be either. So we depend on the Holy Spirit of God to give us that power. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today? Are you absolutely certain? Are you satisfied, or are you satisfied to just wander around and keep looking in from the outside, to stay camped out just outside the river? Joshua told the people to consecrate themselves in chapter 3, verse 5. He told them to get ready to cross over into the promised land. They had some personal things that needed to be taken care of. They needed to get their life squared up and straightened out. They needed to be prepared. They needed to lay down the things that were wrong and pick up the things that were right. They needed to get their head right and get their heart right. They needed to be prepared not only to be taught but to follow. They needed to be prepared to listen. They needed to be prepared to be in agreement with the Word of God. They were told to focus on God. Now, and I'll get to this a little bit later, but they were talking about following the ark across the river that the Lord would dry up. That's such a great passage of Scripture. Confess your sins. Watch God move. Get ready for a brand new experience. Yes. So my heart beat for you and for me, for Lena Vista Baptist Church for 2019, is to understand that's a new day.
Yes.
With new opportunities, with new privileges, with new chances to do the right thing. Get ready for a brand new experience, church. It's called 2019. And I think we're ready. Joshua told the Israelites, be prepared. Because this is never, you've never passed this way before. That's what he said in chapter 3, verse 4. I love the verse. It's powerful. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, talking about the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Listen, we've never lived in 2019 as a church. Or as individuals. But folks, it's coming. It's coming. Will we be prepared? Will we be ready both personally and corporately? Will we be ready? I'm asking you to be ready, to look forward to the things that God's going to do, to embrace the changing of the mind if it needs to be changed, and to see these things that God has set before us as great opportunities and privileges. Great things can happen here in 2019, and I believe with all my heart that that's what God expects. Let's not disappoint Him. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, thank you for your word. If there's anyone here, Lord, that needs to be saved this morning, Father, I pray that on the first note they'd step forward and come down this aisle. It's the most important choice they'll ever make in their entire life. God, I thank you that you prepared Joshua to be ready to take over after Moses. I'm so thankful, Lord, that we have the privilege to read this word openly and unashamedly and, Lord, freely, that we can seek out what you want us to do as your people, and that we would do as we have been clearly instructed in your word, that, Lord, it would be for your glory and for our growth. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We appreciate you. We praise you. We lift you high. Working among us in 2019. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you come?
Hymn number